Today we're going to be dealing with the focal point of discipleship, and that focal point has to do with the sovereignty of God. And as long as the sovereignty of God is only a philosophy or even a theology rather than a reality, we are never, ever going to enter into God's best for our life. Because the sovereignty of God is the substance from which faith is generated. Now, we have spent some time talking about putting the kingdom of God first and the righteousness of God, and all these things are going to be added unto you. And all of us agree, yes, I want to do that, but you know, how do you come to the place that you can really trust God? Because this is the real, there's got to be a basis for trusting the sovereignty of God. And I think that we can trust the sovereignty of God for a number of reasons. And the first of all is that God is the creator of all things. We're told in Genesis chapter 1, for God created the heavens and the earth. In Jeremiah 51:15-16, he hath made the earth by his power, he hath established the world by his wisdom, and has stretched out the heavens by his understanding. He uttereth his voice, and there is multitudes of water in the heaven, and he causes the vapor to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightning with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. And then in Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. God is the creator, and on the basis of his creation or his ability to create, we can go back and trust his sovereignty. Not only is he the creator, but he is also the head of all. We are told in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 11 and 12, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and the earth is Thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of Thee, and Thou reignest over all, and in Thy hand is power and might, and in Thy hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. And then over in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 22, And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in the world but also in that which is to come. But the fact that God has placed Him as the head over all. And then, because of His omnipotence, the fact that God is all-powerful in Jeremiah 32:17, Ah, Lord, behold, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arms, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. And then by His omniscience, that God is all-knowing. In Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10, he says, Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my pleasure. And then in Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 39, he says, Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor, or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him, are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So it's through his omniscience. And then the fact that God is omnipresent, he is everywhere present. Where shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I shall say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light unto me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the light shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Then, the fact that God has given Jesus Christ power over everything that will ever affect your life. He has power over death in John 11, verse 43 and 44. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. He has power over death. He also has power over demons in Mark chapter 1, verses 23 through 27. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let me alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him, and they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And then he has power over natural disasters. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they waked him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the winds, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he has control and power over disease. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and said unto him, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was clean. Mark 1, chapter 40 through 42. And then he also has power over dominions. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. So, God has given to Jesus power over everything that can affect your life. And then the fact that God controls all things. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, and Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the season. He removes kings, he sets up kings, he gives wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. In Daniel 4, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can say to his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? In Job, but he is of one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. And then in Job chapter 1, verses 8 through 12, and the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said unto him, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now God is worthy of our trust because he controls every factor that either touches your life or your ministry. Everything, God is in absolute sovereign control. Nothing happens that will not work ultimately to your good and to God's glory. God not only works, you know, in just our own personal lives, but he is in absolute control over every world event. Now, God's personal sovereignty over me, God knows me and God loves me. He knows everything about me. He knows my strengths. He knows my weaknesses. He knows my every thought. And this is what we're told there in Psalm 139, verses 1 through 4. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou understandest my downsitting and my uprising, and thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou hast compassed my paths and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in thy sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God knows us. Then God cares. This all-knowing God loves us beyond comprehension, and he wants to share not only our burdens, but also our joys. And he delights in doing good things for us. And his desire is to take and to transform us into the likeness and the image of his own Son, Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He cares. He tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our times of need. In 1 Peter 5, 7, Casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. God cares. Not only does he know and care, but he also provides. He knows every need that we have, not only physically and emotionally, but also spiritually. And we are told that if we will seek first the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God, all these things shall be added unto us. And we're told, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency of all things may abound unto every good work. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. God is able to provide. And then God is in control of every trial that touches me. It's not hard for us to believe that when everything is going our way. But when the trials and temptations come, that's the acid test. Is God really in sovereign control over everything, even this? And there can only be one answer. Yes, God is in control. He tells us, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. In Ephesians 5, 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is in control of every situation that touches our life. I like the way someone has paraphrased Romans 8:28, where they say, the Lord may not have planned that this should overtake me, but he has most certainly permitted it. Therefore, though it were an attack of the enemy, by the time it reaches me, it has God's permission. Therefore, all is well. He will make it work together with all of life's experience for good. Now, on the basis of this, God has prescribed certain actions or things for us to do when those trials and temptations come. And the first is found for us when he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Then the second thing we're to do is to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And then we are to rejoice evermore. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. God has a plan for me. We were chosen before the foundations of the world were ever laid, and that plan is perfect. In Jeremiah 29:11, he says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. In 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The plan of God is unique, and it is specific, and it is individual for every person. And that plan is basically twofold in nature. The first part has to do with that vertical relationship which God has made possible through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He made that relationship possible. He desires it, but somehow there must be that equal desire on our part. And the thing that made David the man after God's own heart was that there was the desire for that vertical relationship to be there and strengthen. He said in Psalm 27:4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire at his temple. So the way that we go about maintaining this vertical relationship is through the Word of God and through prayer. because this gives me an opportunity to speak to God. It gives God an opportunity to speak back to me through the Word, and that vertical relationship is set up and established because of what Jesus Christ did through His death upon the cross. Now, once I'm vertically related to God, then the thing He does is begin to horizontally relate me to the world about me. And to those people who are lost and without Christ, it is through my witness or evangelism. And to those people over here who are born again into the family of God, it's through that fellowship that takes and builds us up and strengthens us for the work that God has called us to. And this kind of fellowship is the kind that will strengthen me and establish me. And you remember that that's what they had there in Acts chapter 2, where it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer." Now, the important thing for us to note in closing is that there has got to be a balance in that vertical and the horizontal relationship. Or let's do it this way first. A lot of times people, you know, are very keen in their own personal devotion to Christ, and that's a real strength with them. But then in that horizontal relationship of them going out and telling others about Christ, you know that that's very, very thin. And when that wheel begins to turn, it is not going to be able to hold that weight, but eventually it's going to crumble. And then there are those people who have this tremendous horizontal strength where they are forever out involved in building the kingdom of God, but there's that vertical relationship. And when that wheel begins to turn and the weight is placed upon the strength of that relationship, the thing is going to crumble. And the thing that God is trying to do is to bring into our life a balance where that vertical and that horizontal relationship, that the emphasis is placed upon both of them. It's not that we're strong in one and weak in the other, but that there is a strength in both. So this is what God is working out in His sovereign control of our life, is to take and strengthen us that He might use us in His service. Now, we've got to have an understanding and believe that God is in sovereign control of every situation that faces our life. And if there's any question, it's going to be felt in our own discipleship, where we have to kind of pick up and play junior Holy Spirit and give God a helping hand because He might blow it. And as long as we're in that posture, we are never going to experience God's best for our life. But the thing that we have got to know and believe beyond the shadow of a doubt, that everything that ever touches my life, that God is in control, that I can rest and believe Him and trust Him. Because I promise you that we are going to take and pass through those fires. We are going to be tried. And we will come forth wanting unless we believe in God's absolute sovereignty over every factor that affects my life. And that's why that focal point has got to be upon His sovereign control. And once we know that beyond the shadow of a doubt, well, then the cards can fall whichever way they want. But God holds the trump. And when He's ready, He'll play it on my behalf.